Dead. Right? Eye for an eye, the tooth for a tooth. He murdered somebody, so he should have been put together, should have been put down. He should have been killed. And yet he was given mercy, and so he understood mercy. And I believe David is one of the most broken people in the Old Testament, talking about his salvation. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. The same is true of us. We can become so hard. We can become so mean. We can become so religious. We can put down other people. We can use our tongues to damn. We can tell people that they're no good or they'll never turn out. Or we can do all these things and still be a Christian and still have the temple and still have the Holy Spirit and all these things. But if it's not done in love, it doesn't count for anything at all. Amen? Instead, we have to remind ourselves daily just how we need the mercy of God every day of our lives. And isn't it awesome that the Bible says, and His mercy is new every morning. Amen? Amen. His mercy for us. And I want to ask you guys as a church, where would we be without the mercies of God? Where would you be if God was not a merciful God? Absolutely. We would have been already damned and on our way. We would have done a great job of splitting hell wide open if it wasn't for the love of God, if it wasn't for the forgiveness of God, if it wasn't for His mercy, if it wasn't for His love and demonstration, even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God sent His only begotten Son into this world to redeem fallen man. Amen. Amen. He came to save and to seek that which was lost. He came as the great physician to heal us and to bind up our wounds and to pour in the oil and to pour in the wine. It's not sinless perfection that teaches you grace or mercy. I'll say it again. It's not sinless perfection that teaches you grace or mercy, but it's failure. It's failure. It's your failure and it's my failure that cause us to accept the revelation of God's grace in our life. It's failure. It's moral failure. It's sin. It's whatever. It's failure after the cross that causes you to accept grace into your life and causes you to accept the mercies of God because you realize now how much you need it every day of your life. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. I never realized it. I thought, you know, you could just go strong. You could just preach hard and whatever else. But guess what? Somewhere along the line, Pastor Paul, I needed grace. Somewhere along the line, I needed mercy. And the longer I stand in Christianity, I realize I am in desperate need of grace and mercy every day and every hour of my life. Amen? Amen. And so the grace of God and forgiveness and mercy is becoming greater to me all the time. And it's becoming a revelation. I pray it's becoming a revelation to you. In the mercy seat or in the Ark of the Covenant, in that box that they carried in the cherubims, in that place where God dwelled between the cherubims was a place called the mercy seat. And if you would take the lid off that box, in the contents inside of that were quite compelling. I want us to look at that for a second. I want to talk about it. One of the things that was found inside the Ark of the Covenant was called the pot of manna. The pot of manna. It was the manna from the wilderness. Inside and under the mercy seat, that pot of manna was still alive. This is an amazing miracle. You guys know that if it was to the open air, it wouldn't last one day. It would breed worms in 24 hours, that manna, because you couldn't collect it. You had to collect it every day, fresh, right? You had to eat it fresh in the wilderness. But in the mercy seat, in the Ark of the Covenant, that manna stayed fresh and living and vital, and they could go in there and eat of the manna, and it was still fresh, and it was still angel food, cake, whatever it was. It was still from God, and it would stay alive because it was under the mercy of God. Are you getting me? It was alive because it was under the mercy. There was life under the mercy. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Under the mercies of God, it was the Holy of Holy where God dwelt. Amen? Amen. There was life there, and it kept it fresh. Otherwise, it would have been worms within 24 hours. What does this tell us? It says always our needs are going to be met by an almighty God. Amen? By His mercy, your life, your health, your wealth, your family, your favor, your friends, it's all by the mercy of God. Your church, this church is a miracle church by the mercies of God. Amen? by the liberty that you have, the love that you have for your husband or wife or your friends is because of the mercies of God. The car that you drove here in, the refrigerator that has your cold food, the clothes on your back is all because of God's mercy, because of God's love. You didn't deserve it. Amen. He didn't deserve it, but God gave it. He gave it richly to you. Amen. That you would be blessed, and you're a blessed people, and we should be the most thankful and grateful people on planet Earth, because He not only spared us, He's given us good things. Amen. Amen. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask, the Bible says. So we deserve death. We deserve damnation. We deserve condemnation. We deserve the wrath of God according to the Word of God. But God gave instead His best for you. God gave His Jesus to you. Amen. God put Jesus upon the cross to redeem you. He put precious God's blood upon the cross and put Jesus there instead of you to set you free forever and ever so that you could be with God forevermore. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise for His mercy in this house today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He's a good God. He's a good Savior. He's a wonderful God. Don't ever take that for granted. We need to be thankful. We need to, because we're so blessed. We're so blessed. Do you believe that you're a blessed person today?
Amen.
If you can see mercy for one split second, you know that you're a blessed man. Do you believe that you're favored and highly favored of God? Wonderfully favored of God, church. I'm not getting too many amens. Come on, church. We believe these things. Amen. Are you grateful for the things that God has given you?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you grateful for Him? I'm so grateful that we have fellowship, that we have brotherhood, that we have a women's conference, that we have a place to come. Amen. Hallelujah. That we have a place to worship God in our liberty in America right now. It's the grace of God. It's the blessing of God. I want to ask anybody in this room if you've ever been the recipient of God's mercy. Have you ever received God's mercy? Anybody in this room ever received God's mercy?
Amen.
I see a couple of hands. Yes, well, if you're born again, then you certainly have. And we ought to give God a hand clap of praise because God's a great God and a merciful God. Amen. His mercy's new every morning. There was also a rod in the Ark of the Covenant. It was Aaron's rod. And outside of it being just a dead stick, when you placed it in and under the mercy seat of God, that thing began to bud. You read it and I'll read it. But in the mercy seat of God, under the mercy of God, that dead stick started to bud. It started to produce almonds because it was an almond stick. And it started to produce fruit inside the mercy seat of God. Again, it got under the mercy of God. It got in the place where it was the Holy of Holies, and life started to flow, and fruit started to come up, and it was alive, and it was a living stick that could be used of God again. Amen? And I just want to tell everybody in this room, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your relationships, whether it's whatever you're going through in this life, you get that thing under the mercy of God, and you bring it to the mercies of God, and get it in the place of the Shekinah glory of God, where the glory is falling on it, and that thing will come alive again. Your marriage will come alive. Your relationships will become alive. Everything in your life will turn from dead sticks to living resurrection life. Amen. By the power of that cross and by the glory of God. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God that takes a life that's been abused, that takes a life that's been broken, that takes a life that has been caught up in addictions, a life that's been shattered by pain or severe trauma, and begins to put that life back together again. Begins to take those dead sticks and just give them life again. Thank God for His mercy this morning. Amen. I want you guys to know that His mercy can heal your home. Amen? Amen? Jesus can take all your relationships that are dead sticks and He can cause them to bud again. Amen. He can take all these things. Can I pull one of these off, Mom? And can I say that this buds for you? Because God can take everything in your life and He can turn it and He can make it blossom. He can make it grow. He can make it beautiful again. Amen?
Amen.
because it's the glory of God. He's a resurrector. He's a creator. He has great things for us. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. God's a good God. Amen. He wants to flow inside. He wants to flow outside. He wants to move in your life. He wants to pour oil. He wants to pour wine. He wants to give you victory. He wants to take you. He wants to build you a mansion. Our God's a good God. Amen. He wants to save you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. His blood, hallelujah, is our anthem. Hallelujah. His victory is our battle cry. He's alive today from the dead. His mercy endures forever, and great is His faithfulness. Amen. It reaches, it stretches, it cannot be stopped. It's the glory of God. It's the grace of God. And it's a wonder to us today. Hallelujah. There is life in Jesus' name. Amen. There's hope in Jesus' name. Praise God for His great mercy. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The mercy of God is such a powerful thing that when the ark was traveling, you remember the ark, they were going to take it from one place, from Gilgal to like Obed-Edom. And I was looking at it last night. Your reference is in 2 Samuel 6, verse 6 and 7. But you remember the story where a man named Uzzah, who was helping to bring the Ark of the Covenant, one of the oxen stumbled, and as it stumbled, it rattled the mercy seat of God. It rattled the Ark of the Covenant in that passage. And remember, Uzzah stuck his hand up to steady it, and instantly the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and Uzzah died. It says that God smote him there in his error, and there he died by the ark of God. I've always had trouble with that. Here is a faithful man that's carrying this, and I can't get into to why, but church, what happened there is the anger of the Lord was kindled. And God was saying this. He was saying, never uncover what my mercy has already covered. Never take the lid off when God has already dealt with it by the blood. Amen? Never let the mercy seat come off of where you're at in your life and in your faith and in your walk. Come on, church. I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say. Never uncover, because it brings death. It'll bring death to Uzzah and 50,000 more people that died because of it. Never take the lid off the mercies of God. Never judge another who is already forgiven by my blood. Never uncover what God has covered by His blood. Can I get an amen today? Never talk about another person. Never gossip. Never talebear. Never false accuse. Never lift the cover when Jesus has sealed it by His precious blood. And my God, we're as free could be by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I didn't get an amen with everybody. But Jesus, hallelujah. We need church. We need the mercies of God. There must be a mercy seat in our temple. There must be a mercy seat in your temple. Amen? For the Bible says the judgment that you mete out upon others will be the judgment that you receive in the day of judgment. Think about it, church. A just judgment for you who cast your judgment upon everyone else. All I know is in the day of judgment, I want odious amounts of mercy to be given to me.
Amen.
And so I better rethink all the judgment that comes forward. Amen? We better watch what we judge, who we judge, what we say, and all these things, because we are going to be judged by the exact same judgment we put on other people. The Bible says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I taught on that last week. Here's the lesson. If you want mercy that day, be merciful today. Amen? If you want mercy that day, then be merciful today. Stop judging everybody on whether they eat this, fast this, do this, wear this, go to church this day, go to church that day. Read Romans 14, and He rebukes it all. Don't you know that you're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ?
Amen.
Dear God, don't you know that judgment starts in the house of the Lord? Let there be mercy, and there will always be life. Amen. You bring judgment and you're going to bring death upon everybody. We want life and life more abundant. Amen?
Amen.
I thank God, and I want this pulpit to be a place. I want this house to be a house where there's mercy, mercy, mercy. I need, for the next few moments as we're moving through this, I need 9 people to come and stand up here, okay? 9 people to come and stand up here. If I could get you, that'd be great. And then go to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Let's go there. Matthew 5, 3 through 12. And I want to show you something interesting that I found interesting in studying this out. It says in verse 3, and I'll start it. Amen. We have 9. Praise God. In verse 3, I'll pick it up there. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You're going to be the poor in spirit, okay? Blessed are you. You're blessed. This is a blessing. The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn. You're the mourner, okay? For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You're the meek. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's you. For they shall be filled. And then I'm going to skip you, okay? And I'm because it's the 7. It's the 7th verse. We'll come back to the 7, okay? Now look at this. 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. You're the pure in heart. Amen. For they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. You're the peacemaker. Amen. We need some peacemakers up in this house. Amen. For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, you're the persecuted, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Amen. Right in the center of these 4 blessings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go back to verse 7, and I want you to read it with you. I want you guys to see that in the centerpiece of the temple of God in the Old Testament, there was something that was powerful, and it was the mercy. Amen. In the centerpiece of the Beatitudes for every single one of us, Jesus has, you guys, you four turn around, and you four turn around if you would, and you step forward. Let's read it together. Blessed are the merciful. Everybody say it with me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you see it? Do you see the centerpiece and the most crowning part of the Beatitudes is mercy? Amen. Mercy that's new every morning. Bless. And that mercy will bring blessing to all them, all of you. All of your other blessings will flow as long as there's mercy in your temple. Amen. The blessings of all these other things will begin to flow upon you as you receive it. Amen. You guys can be seated and give them a hand. They did a great job this morning. Amen. Now go to Micah 6 and 8. Go to Micah 6 and 8 and bring that up. I want you guys to see this because this is what God the Father loves. What God the Father loves more than anything. He hath showed to thee, okay? Oh man, what is good? You want to see what's good with God in the Old Testament? And what doth the Lord require of thee? This is what He requires of every single one of us. Everybody say this, to do justly. That means justice. He loves justice. He loves righteousness. He wants you to be a just man walking upon the earth. Now skip the second one and go to the last one. And to walk humbly before thy God. Jesus loves humility. He loves people that are following Him. He loves people that love Him. He loves brokenness. He loves contrite heart. He runs to that person. He loves the humility and to walk humbly. Say amen.
Amen.
But right in the center, a piece of that verse itself. What does it say? And for us to love mercy. For us to love mercy. To love mercy. Everybody say love mercy.
Love mercy.
To love mercy. Anybody needed mercy ever in their life?
Yes.
You know, Jesus said, how much shall we forgive our brother when he sins against us? You know what the word for that is? 7 times 70. Or infinity. Or forever and always and always and always. That's what he told his disciples. Church, we need forgiveness, we need love, we need the blood of Jesus Christ, and there must be, this house must be a house of mercy, amen? It must be a house of love, and it must be a house of grace, but it has to be a house of mercy. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. People are broken out there. The people that will come into this church are not going to be your little fine upstanding people that are rich in this community and have need of nothing. It's probably not going to be those people. But this is the people that will come. These are the people that are broken. The people that are broken. And if they see anything in this church, they have to see a people of mercy. They have to see a people not that's going to judge them. Not that's going to show how religious this church can be. Not just going to tell them that you have no place here. They cannot see that. They cannot see it. If they've seen it before, they can never see it again. Somebody say amen. It has to be a house of mercy. It has to be a house of mercy. Will change their life. Mercy and hope and love will change their life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In the New Testament, in John chapter 5, verse 3, you're going to love this. John chapter 5, verse 3. There was a pool at Bethesda. There was a pool at Bethesda. And in verse 3, I wish you could bring it up, thank you. And it says, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were blind, they were halt, they were withered, and they were waiting for the moving of the water. In the next verse, it talks about, and an angel would come and trouble the water, and they believed that in that moment, if they could get into the water at that time period, then they would be healed. And it must have happened a few times because they were all wanting this. And here's this impotent man that's needing healing, and he's speaking with Jesus. And the man says to him, I've never had anybody to put me into that water. He was there 38 years. I believe it's Jesus in verse 6 says, wilt thou be made whole? But he says in verse 7, I have no man to put me in. Do you see that? Do you know what Bethesda means? It means the pool of God's mercy. The pool of God's mercy. In church, I want you guys to see that we have the halt, the lame, the blind, the impotent, all these people that are out there outside these four walls. They're out there in the community. They don't have Jesus. And so that is what they are. Verse 3. They are verse 3. Church, what they need more than anything is the way into God's mercy. They need to go into the water. The water is the type of the Word of God. It's what we preach. It's what you preach. And so this is a personal thing. You have to preach a gospel that has the water of God's mercy involved in it. And you have to know that you can point them to a man that will bring them into the pool of Bethesda. Who is that man that you can bring them to put them into the well of water of the pool of God's mercy? Who is that man, church, that you can point them to that will bring them into the pool of God's mercy? His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And church, you can lead them by your preaching, by my preaching, into the place of God's mercy over their life, into the pools and wells of refreshing for their life, and they will be healed. As sure as Aaron's bud, as sure as the manna never read out, never went, lost its potency. All of these things in the blood and under the mercies of God will bring life to every situation that they ever contacted with. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Mercy works. Healing works. Love is free. It's given by God, and Jesus is the giver of it all. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But if we don't preach that word of mercy to the impotent, to the blind, to the halt, to the withered folks, which is every single one of us, mind you. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Which one of you guys has sinless perfection in this room? Which one of you guys has no blemish or spot that needs not be washed away? Amen? They'll leave more crippled. Listen, church. If we don't preach with mercy, people will leave more crippled than when they came in. Because we all need mercy. We must preach the mercy, the grace, and it's got to come through revelation. We must tell people of their standing in Jesus Christ, that they're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We must remind them that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know, Justin, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? But do you know it? There's a difference between knowing and possessing. You know what I'm saying? You have to know that when the devil comes to beat your head off, you need to remind him that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because I'm a son of God. Amen?
Amen.
Satan, get behind me by the authority of the blood, by the power of his name. Amen. Because I have been made right. I'm justified, just as if I never sinned. And my sins are in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again against me. Amen. And you tell that devil to get out of here. And you tell the Father of all lies to be rebuked in Jesus' name. Amen. And you walk on with God and you don't give him the time of day. And you stand up in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know that God's come to bring mercy and grace, and he's restoring it to his church in this hour. Hallelujah. Even in stumbling, even in failures, even in setbacks, even in struggles, even in trials and in temptations, he will come running towards you. Paul said, "When I am weak, am I yet strong? When I am in my weakness, he will give grace to you in your time of need." Every hour of your life, anytime you're broken, anytime you need healing, anytime you feel overwhelmed, you cry out to God and you say, "Dear God, come and meet me in this moment." And Jesus Christ comes running to you with the gift of grace to empower you in that time of need. Amen. He's telling you, boldly come into the throne room of grace and I will give to you what you need in that moment. Do you believe that today, church? That God wants to give you more grace than you can even know. Amen. He wants you to receive of him every good gift that he has for you. Praise God. God does not want you to give up. God does not want you to give up in your faith. He wants you to persevere until the end. He wants you to be powerful until the end. Don't let any man steal your crown. Don't let anything stop you from believing. Amen? Don't stop believing just came into my mind, friend. That's Paul's favorite song, Little Paul. Paul, you like that song, Don't Stop Believing? He told me that the other day. Don't stop believing, church. Praise God. In the olden days, during the Renaissance, there was a painter, there was a sculptor. His name was Michelangelo. Has anybody ever heard of Michelangelo? He painted and he sculpted and he did something that I heard a preacher tell this story. I got to tell it to this church because I think it really ministered to me when he said it. But Michelangelo in that day, he was reading the Latin translation of the Bible. He was reading the Latin translation of the Bible. And so they translated the word when Moses came down from the mountain. It said that in the Hebrew Bible, it said that the glory of God came upon him. But in the Latin Bible, it said that the glory, they turned the word glory into, there were horns upon Moses. Horns. They changed the word glory and they translated it horns. So in Michelangelo's depictions of Moses from the Renaissance era, there are little horns like bunny ears coming out of his head, and you're wondering why it's coming out of this flowing beard and these hair. But it's horns. And church, it was because of a bad translation. It wasn't Michelangelo trying to do a smear campaign on Moses. It was just simply that they didn't get the translation right. Poor old Moses, forever labeled as a devil because of a misinterpretation. You could see his stuff in the Sistine. You can go to all these different chapels around this world and you could see this Moses is forever labeled with these horns on his head. But I wonder, when we hear something about somebody else and we take it through our own Latin translation and we paint horns on people that we don't even know or we don't understand or we've never met, and in our minds, and we don't maybe necessarily intend to do this, but we stick horns on them. I think it happens all the time. I think it happens amongst Christians all the time. Or worse yet, I think our God that sent us pastors and preachers to help equip, and he calls them gift ministries. He calls them angel spirits. He says ministers that are a flame of fire, ministering spirits, the fivefold ministry. Many times they get painted with horns due to a bad translation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's a misinterpretation. And churches, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That our warfare is with the wicked one. Amen. It's not with our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been bought by the blood of Jesus and given the hope and the love of grace and mercy. Amen. Or it could be in your marriage. It could be in your relationships. That I've seen husbands and wives as I've counseled that, oh, no, she's a she-devil. She's got horns on her head. No. But if he would just come to Christ and if he would just live for God, if he would just be the lead, he's a he-devil. And we paint horns on people that ought not to have horns. They're just people and they need a break. And the break they need is Jesus. Amen? And it's only by the grace and mercies of God that we can dehorn all of the horns in the church and everywhere outside of the church and rip those horns off. Anybody know what dehorning is, boys? Trimble boys? Yeah, Kirch knows what it is. Let's dehorn and let's defang everything and let's get under the blood of Jesus where the mercy flows and let's let the glory of God make us love one another and have mercy for one another again and again and again and again and again. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Amen? Okay. No, church, we really do need the love of God and the mercies of God. Praise God. God's good. God's good, and His mercy endureth forever. Listen, the only reason you don't have horns yourself is that you were dehorned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Every single one of you guys had little devil horns on your head running around this earth, messing all kinds of things up in your life and in everybody else's life. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of you and dehorned you. And just because you have an argument or see things differently with somebody else, you judge them or we put horns on them. Quit demonizing everything else other than the devil. Amen? Quit doing that. And let's give people the grace of God. Give people mercy, odious amounts of mercy. Yes, people are going to do you wrong. Yes, people are going to rip you off. Yes, people are going to use and abuse you. Say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. But that's just a reward for you in heaven. Amen? Because they did that to Jesus Christ too. You have to keep a place of mercy in your spirit. Mercy. I don't want to be a mean Christian. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a religious fanatic. I don't want to be an ugly Christian that when you walk into the room, you're against everything, everything, everything all the time. There's no budding in that. There's no life in that. There's no buds you're going to give to anybody else. There's no grace. It's just negative, negative, negative. But when you hear somebody that's struggling, does anybody struggle? When you hear somebody struggling, I pray to God that it touches the compassion in your heart. Because you know that you've struggled. And now you want to go to that person and you want to be the help and the lifter up, amen, of that person who's struggling. And it's by the mercies of God because it's been revealed to you that I'm going to give mercy to everybody else that I know. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We must keep a place of mercy. Only by the blood I'm forgiven. Only by the mercy I'm kept. Can you keep yourself in Christianity?
No.
Absolutely not. Did you save yourself? No. Can you make yourself holy?
No.
Wow. This salvation is really about Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
It's really about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's really about God in heaven. Shout hallelujah for that because it's not on you. It's on Him who makes us holy. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. If a minister told a story about he was taking his son down to the ocean to do something that they called crabbing. You ever been down to near the ocean and grabbed a bucket? He grabbed a bucket or a pail, and they went out with a flashlight at night, and he said the crabs would come up, and they would come, and they would just have a little bucket, and you see these beady little eyes everywhere on the beach, and so you'd come over, and you'd see one over there, and you'd grab your bucket and tell the boys to come over here, and you'd start, and you'd pick them up with tongs, and then you'd put them in the bucket, and they'd be in the bucket, and the little boy said to the dad, he said, how are we going to, he said, shouldn't we put a lid on this bucket? So we can stop the crabs from getting out or crawling out of the bucket because they're moving everywhere in there. And God revealed something to the pastor. as the crabs were in that bucket and they were climbing and they were trying to get up on each other, and they'd use one and they'd step on the other one's back, and then they'd step on this one, and then they'd try to climb a little higher. But just as one of those crabs would get to the pinnacle where he could maybe get out of that bucket, do you know what would happen every time? One of those other crabs would grab him by the leg or the tail, and he'd rip him back down into the muck and mire of that bucket of those bottom feeders that were crabs and crabby and just kept clawing and pulling and pulling. You know what a crab does? A crab is just a negative individual that keeps pulling everything and everybody down. And their attitude is crabby, okay? And they're just naturally crabby because they must not see the mercies of God that saved them and bought them and sought them when they were in their worst state, in the worst place that they could have ever been. And the love of God reached in through their own crabbiness and brought them not down, but picked them up. Amen. Picked them up by the glory of God and pulled them and set them on a rock where they could be safe. And that rock was Christ Jesus. Amen. It was the glory of God. It was the love of God. It was the mercies of God. God's goodness led us to repentance. Amen. God's goodness leads us to salvation. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise, because He's deserving of His glory and His worship today in the house of God. Praise God. Church, we need to get out of a crab bucket, and we need to stop being crabby Christians and realize that if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have anything. We want to pull people up. Amen. But mercy says this. Mercy says give them another chance. Mercy says, give them another chance. And then it says, give them another chance. Amen? If you sin today, is God going to give you another chance tomorrow? Yes. Is that true or false? If you sin on Monday, is God going to give you another chance? If you repent and confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen? Amen. And to wash us. And to cleanse us. He is faithful. He gives us mercy over and over and over. And the nearest you will ever be on this earth is when you are showing somebody mercy who doesn't deserve it. Anybody in your life that doesn't deserve mercy? No. There is nobody that doesn't deserve it. Because if we don't deserve it, none of us deserve it, is what I'm saying. He saved a wretch like me. Church, you need mercy because without it, you won't receive it. You need mercy because without it, you won't receive it on the judgment day. Mercy is the fabric of Christianity. Listen, mercy will heal you today. Amen? Mercy will restore you today. Mercy will reconcile you and your family and your brethren and whatever situation you're in. Mercy rebuilds. Somebody say amen to that. Mercy revives. Amen. It brings revival to life because it's alive inside that mercy seat. Amen. I'm telling you, the Ark of the Covenant is still alive, and the mercies of God are still for us today. Amen. Praise God. You can release when there's mercy. Amen. And give it to God. You can reconcile. You can relight. You can be lit up again through mercy. Amen. If you feel dark today, you can relove. Relove. That gives hope to every single marriage in this room today.
Amen.
Because God loves you. Over and over, His mercy saves us from His just judgment, from His wrath, from our sins. His blood washes us. His resurrection life lifts us. His Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life that's impossible without God's mercy. Amen. Is there a mercy seat in your temple today? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God said that. You're born again if you're saved today. And inside the Old Testament tabernacle, David made sure Solomon put in the middle of it. So the middle of your Christianity ought to have the greatest mercy seat. It should be a place where you worship every day and you realize that you don't deserve it, but God did it. And you'll take it. Amen.
Amen.
And that should cause you to stop pointing the finger, start shooting the thumb, and say, oh, Lord God, I surrender it. I surrender it to you today. And to love God's mercy. Do justly. Walk humbly. Love mercy.